controlling hypertension, literally not one. It is essential for your song to be captivating and to tell your story. In order to understand how to set energy levels with rhythm, we first have to talk about subdivisions. There are five that are of interest to us. Whole note or semi-breve subdivision, half note or minim subdivision, quarter note or crotchet subdivision, eighth note or quaver subdivision, and sixteenth note or semi-quaver subdivision. The instrument that normally determines the subdivision is the drum kit, because it's usually the instrument that plays the most notes. In the remainder of this chapter, I will be referring to these as sub 1, sub 2, sub 4, sub 8, and sub 16 in order to save time and to keep everything short and neat. Part 1. Hype in rhythm. Subdivision determines hype. The higher the subdivision, the higher the hype level. The lower the subdivision, the lower the hype. This is why songs often have their highest subdivision in the chorus and their lowest in the verse. The more instruments following the highest subdivision, the higher the hype. The fewer instruments, the lower. Note, whenever you're trying to write a high energy section, be aware that it's a balancing game between low and high subs. The lower subs bring power and heaviness to your song, whereas the higher subs bring in the energy. Make a conscious decision of the effect you want to achieve, and then react accordingly by tilting the balance towards either low or high subs. Legato trumps staccato. Switching from staccato to legato results in an increase of hype. Going from legato to staccato lowers hype. This is also why melodic lines always trump rap vocals in hype. Phrasal length.
I'm singing longer lines on top of this. I'm singing shorter, I'm singing shorter. What's the hype go up and up, the shorter I go. Hype goes up, the shorter I go.
To increase hype in this fashion, you want to shorten the length of your phrases. Writing longer lines therefore lowers your energy level. Part 2. Tension in rhythm. Switching to a higher subdivision. This is just as strong as leading up to the next section using dominant chains, and it doesn't sound as old-fashioned. Introducing a sub-16 drum fill in a sub-8 section is effectively telling your audience, but wait, there's more. Part 3. Implied tension in rhythm. Broken flow. Again, implied tension is created by teasing the audience with something they want. In the case of rhythm, what your audience wants is continuous flow. So if you want to use implied tension, only let them have bits and pieces. Drake is a master of this. His rap lines, with their start anywhere, end anywhere approach, make you crave predictability. And while the rap music of the 90s and 2000s was all about continuous flow, modern hip-hop is far more choppy, constantly teasing you with very short rhythmical fragments or stings. But we also see this in pop music. Check out Swift's Blank Space. The verse is clearly in sub-8 feel, but the vocals and drums suggest sub-16. The point is that they don't have satisfying sub-16 lines. They just hint at it here and there. Or listen to Beyoncé's 7-Eleven. The song is sub-8, Beyoncé sings in sub-16, and the hi-hat even goes up to sub-32 every now and then. Again, the key is space. What you aren't saying is important. So contrast low subdivisions in the music with short outbreaks of 16th notes or triplets, and do it in a way that emphasizes the silence between the lines. And while we're at it, let's talk about triplets next. The implied tension from using tuplets comes from not giving the listener what they're used to, straight eighth notes. Originally only used in rap music, triplets are currently finding their way into melodic writing as well, Check out the verse to Selena Gomez, Fetish, for example. This is definitely something we'll hear more of in the near future. But we can also hear other kinds of tuplets in modern pop music, especially in the machine gun-like hi-hat patterns of trap music. Often, these quick tuplet bursts are the only hi-hat we hear, which increases the implied tension even further. And so this thing not only makes us want the straight eighths, it also shows us what the song could sound like if it had a continuous hi-hat pattern. Contrary movement. This one is a little more difficult to use, as it can easily clutter your arrangement. The idea is to let the drums fall in between the downbeats of the music. This way, you're creating a more unexpected drum beat that doesn't seem to hit where you want it to. This results in strong implied tension. Listen to the second verse of Iggy Azalea's Fancy and imagine what it would sound like if the kick and snare would fall on the 1 and 3 of each measure. See how a lot of the implied tension goes right out the window? Each snare or kick drum we hear that's in the wrong place works as a sting here, reminding us of their typical functions, downbeat and backbeat. By placing them anywhere else, we're increasing implied tension. Summary. Hype can be controlled through change of the subdivision, by switching between legato and staccato, and by playing with the phrasal length. Tension can be applied by switching to a higher subdivision halfway through a section. Broken flow and contrary movement can be used to imply tension. That wraps up rhythm for us. Now let's get to the individual parts of the instruments and see how they can be used to tell your story. Part writing. In this chapter, we will look at the 5 most common instruments, vocals, guitar, piano, bass, and drums, and see how they can be used to set hype levels and increase tension. Depending on the function, these techniques can also be used for synthesizers. For example, if you're looking for techniques to use on a synth melody, check the chapter on vocals. Or if your synth plays chords, refer to the piano section. Before we get all specific, I want to quickly go through a technique that works regardless of the instrument. Dynamics. Dynamics are one of the most important elements for controlling energy. In fact, just by looking at an energy curve, you can see the overall loudness at a glance. This just goes to show how closely connected dynamics and energy really are. It makes dynamics the easiest way of writing your energy curve.
You probably shouldn't stand so close to the drum set, man.
Huh? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I think I was standing too close to the drum set.
If you've ever played in a band, you will know that in the chorus, everyone plays louder than in a verse. This is because every musician instinctively gets this. Because a wave's energy is proportional to amplitude squared, doubling your volume effectively quadruples your energy. In order to set hype using dynamics, go louder for higher hype and softer for lower hype levels. This, of course, can also be achieved by adding another instrument in the arrangement. For tension, crescendos are your friend. Rising in volume automatically suggests that a big chorus will follow. When it comes to implied tension, dynamics can be a very useful tool as well. John Mayer calls this the dynamic ceiling. The idea is that whatever you play, you don't hit your ceiling, your top dynamic. Instead, hold back and only occasionally use a sting to remind the audience that you can go much louder. In this case, the sting would be a loud note or phrase. This creates a very tense, sexy sound that John has mastered like few others. Listen to what this sounds like. So just keep in mind that volume is a key element of your energy curve. Good. Let's take a look at our instruments. Vocals. Think of 10 purely instrumental songs that were hits in the past 40 years. Can't? Think of 5. How about 3? It seems that vocals are a necessary factor to writing a hit song. But are there other instruments that tend to get used a lot to replace the voice? How about electric guitars? Ever wonder why wah-wah pedals are so popular in rock solos? Perhaps because the guitar is telling you what to think. Sounds like wow, 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 doesn't it? How many times have you heard people sing a dubstep bass line, wop, wop, wop? Does it vaguely sound like an angry what, perhaps? How about the saxophone? That had a huge career as a solo instrument in the 80s. It is also known as the instrument that is closest to the human voice. Or take the harmon mute, that thing that makes the trumpet go wah, wah. Sounds almost like laughter, doesn't it? It appears that all the instruments that have ever made a hit song have one similar characteristic in common, their closeness to the human voice. What about classical music, then? Classical singing is very different from what we hear on the radio, of course. Upon comparing a violin spectral analysis with a classical soprano's, Texas A&M biochemistry professor Joseph Nagyvari has found that sonically, they're practically the same. I don't know whether I'm onto something here, but it seems like a strange coincidence, don't you think? The human voice is undoubtedly important in arrangement. Sections without vocals are just music. It's only when the human voice is involved that the song begins to speak to us. Listen to Katy Perry's Dark Horse. There is not a single section in this song where we don't hear some form of the human voice. Even the instrumental interlude after the first chorus has haze in the background. If you want high energy, think of ways to incorporate the human voice into every section of your song. Most of the following techniques can also be used for other melodic leads, such as guitar, saxophone, or synth solos. Part 1. Hype in vocals. Range.
Now I'm singing low, keep the energy down. Feeling like a freight train doing heavy rounds. But when I'm singing high, we experience a shift. Open up the sky, so hype is getting a lift.
Controlling hype with vocals is mostly done by pitch. The higher the pitch, the higher the hype. The lower the pitch, the lower the hype. This is the reason why most songs have their highest notes in the chorus and their lowest in the verse. Variety.
Going with a one note melody so you can see the variety when we get there in the next part. This gives us a couple notes that we can listen to. Hear the hype increase just like the variations though.
The more different notes, the higher the hype. This means one note melodies have the lowest hype. Vocal modes. CVT, EVT. There are several schools of vocal technique out there using their own definitions and nomenclature, and the more you know about the instrument you're writing for, the better. However, it is unusual to ask a singer to lower her larynx in the studio. It's better to know a couple of sounds that are possible with the voice, and trust the singer to produce that sound. This approach works regardless of the education the singer has gone through. So as far as I'm concerned, there are four sounds you need to be aware of. Neutral.
Neutral.
Falsetto, aka neutral with air.
Falsetto.
And speech.
Speech.
Which turns into belting, aka edge, at higher pitches.
Belting.
If you have a melody that is low in pitch, the only modes available to you are neutral and speech, which are at the low end of the hype spectrum. Once we get to higher notes, we can use falsetto, neutral, and belting in order from lowest to highest hype. Effects. There's a multitude of effects that can be added on top of the vocal modes to create more interesting colors and control energy. Twang, oral, and nasal.
Twang!
Hype can be raised by adding twang to a vocal. Since it's a requirement for belting, twang is often associated with high-energy choruses, although it can be used in any kind of section. Vibrato.
Vibrato.
This effect is often added to long notes in order to create interest. Especially in ballads, we hear it quite often. By effectively adding more rhythmic pulses to a line, vibrato makes for another technique that can be used to subtly increase hype. Ornamentations.
Ornamentations.
This little technique, CVT describes it as a technique used for producing very fast, rhythmic, and melodic sequences of notes, is often used in R&B. Since it increases the amount of sung pitches in notes, This clearly adds hype. Distortion.
Distortion!
Apart from very subtle kinds, known as curbing, pop music doesn't see a lot of distortion. In alternative rock and metal, we see other more extreme types that can be classified by pitch. The lowest in hype is known as growling, which is also performed at a low pitch, followed by the mid-range shouting and the high-pitched screaming. Part 2. Tension in vocals. To create tension with the human voice, you have a couple of options. Right ascending melodies, in other words, melodies that rise in pitch. As pitch determines hype, it only makes sense that slowly increasing pitch introduces tension. Vice versa, you can use descending melodies to create negative tension, which is something often seen when transitioning from chorus to verse. Change the vocal mode. For this technique, you want to instruct your singer to change their sound to one with more hype in the middle of the section. It is also possible to amplify the intensity by telling the singer to slowly increase her singing power. Hitting tense notes. For example, you might hit the third or seventh of a five chord during the end of a section. This tension technique is not seen a lot in pop music these days because it immediately sounds classical or cliched. Hitting these notes highlights the underlying harmony, which, as we have learned, is kind of out as a means to create tension. Creating tension with effects. By slowly adding twang or distortion to a voice, you are signaling that you're moving to a section with higher energy. Vibrato is rarely used for doing this anymore, maybe because it sounds a little too Freddie Mercury for this century. Displays of skill. After finding indie rapper Mac Lethal on YouTube, I lost a whole day binge-watching all of his videos. Being fast is one thing, but Mac Lethal is on another level. Check out Alphabet Insanity, where the tempo increases every few bars. The result? We keep watching because we want to know how fast this guy can go. In another video, Mac tries to rap longer than a fidget spinner spins, without taking a breath. This adds tension because we want to know if he can do it and if he really doesn't take a breath. Now I understand that this is not something you could use on any production, but there is something about displays of skills that is very tantalizing to watch. This is a tool you can use. If you've never written a song to show off, do it. It's fun. Part 3. Implied tension in vocals. Vocals are a great tool for introducing implied tension to your song because everyone is focused on them. Here's four techniques you can use. Subtract the melody. Since the human voice is the part that has most of your audience's attention, taking out the vocals has a lot of impact. Right before the chorus is the most popular choice to do this. For stings, rappers often fill their silences with a quick yo or something similar to remind you that you're supposed to miss them. Write a tense one-note melody. Pick a note for your one-note melody that isn't part of your tonic triad. This creates nice friction between vocals and music, which wants to resolve. To sting, resolve to a chord tone every now and then. This will make the natural tension of the note you're using even more apparent. Listen to what this sounds like.
And so I'm singing on the four, let it hit your eardrums, draw across it once to go to three, let it go, let it go, let it go. Feel the tension here, feel it all disintegrate when you go, gotta go down to the six.
The final frontier. Space. By space, I mean a period of time between two lines before a pause turns into a rest. Not using space in their melodies is one of the biggest issues songwriters have. Their verses are just a huge block of text. I call this phenomenon lyrical chains. Making a lyrical chain groove is truly a hard thing to do. The best melodies say what they need to say in as little words as possible. This allows the song to literally breathe and let the music shine through every once in a while. This is especially important in ballads. Bryan Adams is a master at this, as you can hear in Where Angels Fear to Tread, and Inside Out. Listen to how he sings literally as little as possible. Take out one note, and it doesn't work anymore. Just for fun, take Inside Out and continue his melody. Fill up the space between his lines. Can you feel how that completely destroys the tension of the song? I dare you to write something better with more words. The success of this technique is greatly dependent on the performer. Your singer needs to be able to turn rests into space. This has a lot to do with breath and tension in the voice itself. The best way to accomplish this is by making sure they sing your lyrics in blocks, not line by line. Attitude. Tension can also be implied by contrasting the music with a different energy in the vocals. Low-energy vocals set to high-energy music can reflect powerlessness, boredom, apathy, or depression. Setting high-energy vocals to low-energy music can be used for super emotional ballads or whenever we want the singer's vocal abilities to stand out. Summary. Hype levels can be expressed through loudness, range, variety, the four vocal modes, neutral, falsetto, speech, and belting, and effects, twang, vibrato, ornamentations, and distortion. To introduce tension, use crescendos, ascending melodies, change the vocal mode, hit tense notes, or gradually add effects. Implied tension can be achieved by subtracting the melody, by writing a tense one-note melody, by using space, or by attitude. Guitar. Part 1. Hype in guitar. As with vocals, there are a lot of different techniques on the guitar that can be utilized to set hype levels. Most of the techniques used by vocals can be directly translated to writing guitar parts, and all the other melodic instruments for that matter. What is often overlooked, though, is that the overall level of hype is already determined before the first note is struck. I'm talking about picking styles here. While these influence the general hype level, a guitarist usually doesn't switch picks during a song, so knowing this is of limited use for writing the energy curve. In the acoustic guitar world, however, switching from fingers to pick halfway through a song is quite common and can thus be used to set different hype levels as well. So whether you're interested in raising the general hype level or writing the energy curve, it's good to know the different pick sizes and shapes and what influence they have on your energy. So pick wisely. Thank you, thank you. I'll be here all night. At the low end of the spectrum, we have the thumb tip, followed by fingertips, followed by soft picks, followed by medium picks, followed by fingernails, and at the top of the hype spectrum, we have heart picks. You can't stop snickering now. Listen to what this sounds like. Guitar modes. The biggest influence a guitarist has on hype is less what they play, it's how they play. We can distinguish between clean and distorted sounds, the latter of which is higher in hype. In both categories, there are six modes that you can choose from. Single note hammer-ons or pull-offs, single notes individually struck, chord arpeggios, palm-muted power chords, combining open and palm-muted power chords, and finally, strummed chords. Listen to Steve Vai's Tender Surrender to hear a lot of these in action, including thumb tip, nail, and pick playing. Notice how subtly he switches between clean and distorted sounds. How he controls hype by going through various dynamics, subdivisions, ranges, and playing styles. This performance showcases Steve's true mastery of energy, slowly building towards his moment of gratification in the middle of the piece, and slowly going back down again. Effects. We will discuss effects when we talk about producing, because they too can be used to express our energy curve. Part 2. Tension on guitar. Tender Surrender also uses pretty much all the tension techniques that are possible on guitar. Palm mutes, different kinds of vibrato, tremolo bar drops and squeals, slow bends, and pick slides. The only ones that are missing are the slide, harmonics, fades, and the chug. One playing style that is particularly interesting for creating tension on guitar is palm-muted playing. Resting the flesh of his hand on the strings, the guitarist can control how much he wants to mute the strings. By slowly taking off the hand, a natural crescendo occurs and the sound becomes more open and legato. This is the exact equivalent to slowly opening a hi-hat on guitar. Note that once the guitar is distorted, its dynamic capabilities are very limited due to the compression of the distortion. Using palm mute crescendos is an excellent way of making up for this shortfall. Listen to what this sounds like. Part 3. Implied tension on guitar. Palm mutes also sound great when kept closed. They sound very thick and abrupt and can be used to create implied tension if not resolved. To sting the audience, take the palm off for a few quick accents. Listen to what this sounds like. Slides can also be used to imply tension if used multiple times in a section. For an example, listen to the riff from Limp Bizkit's Rollin'. Drones. This is especially popular in metal and ethnic music. Here, the guitarist structures their riffs around a low open string, similar to a pedal. This sounds very sinister and dark, but can have some very hypnotic qualities. To sting, do what Smoke on the Water did. Every so often, move the bass with the chords, just to remind your audience that this is possible. Summary. Hype can be altered through dynamics, picking styles, guitar modes, range, variety, and effects. Tension can be introduced by using crescendos, palm mutes, vibrato, tremolo bar drops, squeals, slow bends, pick slides, slides, harmonics, fades, and the chug. To imply tension, use palm mutes, slides, or drones. Bass. Coming from the instrument family of guitars, the bass can do a lot of the same things as the guitar. Part 1. Hype on bass. Let's start with bass modes. At the low end of the hype spectrum, we get single notes played via hammer-ons or pull-offs. Next, we get palm-muted single notes. Plucked single notes, plucked chords, picked single notes. Chords, and finally slapped single notes. As with the guitar, you can add even more hype to all of these by adding distortion. Part 2. Tension on bass. The bass is a little more limited when it comes to tension, as most of the techniques discussed in the chapter on guitar don't sound as good on thick strings. The most common technique of creating tension is the slide. Implied tension on bass. Slides. Just as on guitar, using slides multiple times in a section can be used to imply tension. Drones. By playing a continuous drone, some of your chords will start creating friction. This technique can thus be used very effectively to imply tension. Summary. Hype can be controlled through dynamics, range, variety, changing bass modes, and distortion. Tension can be added by using crescendos or slides. To imply tension, slides or drones can be used. Piano and synths. Compared to the other instruments, the piano is the most neutral when it comes to energy. It really only has one sound, that of a hammer striking a string. So we will include synths in this chapter as well. Part 1. Hype on piano. We have already discussed the most important hype features of the piano in other parts of this book. They are dynamics, ranges, and rhythm. Sustain. The only popular instrument-specific technique of the piano is using the sustain pedal. It opens up the sound and thus lifts the section to a new hype level. Filters. The hype of synthesizers can often be set with low-pass filters. The lower the cutoff, the lower the hype. A similar, though less popular, effect is possible with a high-pass filter. Here, the higher the cutoff, the lower the hype. Part 2. Tension on piano. There is no tension on piano. I've heard some alternative tracks where the sustain pedal was held in order to blend successive chords, thereby creating some sort of cluster chords, but it is a rarity. In the case of synthesizers, the cutoff frequency of the low-pass filter can be automated to slowly open up. Summary. Hype can be controlled by means of dynamics, range, variety, sustain, and filters. Tension can be applied by changing the cutoff frequency of the filter. Drums. Drums are your most powerful instrument for controlling energy, period. They, like no other, can set your hype levels and introduce tension, so studying groove is extremely valuable for any songwriter. Bringing in drums halfway through a song is one of the most impactful moves in the world of songwriting ever since Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven and Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. So let's talk instruments. There are four parts a drummer can play simultaneously, one for each limb, two legs, two arms. This translates to left leg, hi-hat pedal, right leg, kick drum, left arm, snare, and right arm, time, which depending on the context means hi-hat, ride, crashes, or toms. Obviously, there are more possibilities than these if you take patterns played with both hands, not to mention special pedals, into account. But as you will see, this won't really matter for our discussion. This is because we are not interested in the amount of notes played on an instrument in this chapter. We already covered this in the chapter on rhythm. Here, we are more concerned which instruments we can hear in general. Part 1. Hype on drums. Drum modes. At the moment, we are only discussing full beats, meaning beats involving a kick drum, snare drum, and time in the right hand. We are especially interested in the right hand because it will determine our hype level the most. So here are the different hype levels on drums you need to know as an arranger. From lowest to highest, rims, ride, closed hi-hat, a combo of open and closed hi-hat, toms, open hi-hat, and finally crash. Intermediate steps can be reached by involving an instrument that's higher in hype. For example, if you have your drummer play an open hi-hat beat and add a crash on all the downbeats. Adding instruments from a lower hype level usually sounds weak, like playing a tom groove and adding a ride on the downbeat. This rule does not include fills or any other type of tension building, of course. Rims. There are two other important sounds on the snare drum that have an influence on hype. The rim click, aka cross stick or side stick, and the rim shot. The rim click lowers the hype level of the drum groove. The rim shot increases it. Snares off. This way of playing is often heard in reggae music. With the snares disengaged, the snare drum sounds more like a tom-tom, which dramatically decreases its hype level. This can be compared to going from distorted to clean. Using the snares to set hype levels is rarely used in pop music, but very musical and effective. Part 2. Tension on drums. Changing modes. Tension again may be achieved by either involving new instruments halfway through a section, such as fills on toms, crashes, snare rolls, cymbal rolls, or by dropping out the drums entirely. Another great way is to gradually open the hi-hat or to gradually move from the bell of the ride outwards, going from a ping sound to a washed-out crash sound. Part 3. Implied tension on drums. We have already talked about a multitude of ways of creating implied tension in the arrangement section of this book. The basic rule is, give your audience only part of what they want. In the case of the drums, this translates to giving them an incomplete beat that is either missing its bass drum, snare drum, time, or combinations of the three. There are three additional grooves I want to briefly mention that imply tension to your music. Half-opened hi-hat. We are so used to the sound of the hi-hat gradually opening up, thus going somewhere, that we instinctively associate the sound with tension, even if the hat doesn't actually open up any further. Tom grooves. These we know primarily from drum solos, and since those always end with a big bang, our anticipation is high here as well. For maximum effect, keep the snare away from the 2 and 4. Reserve those for a sting. Snare drum grooves and rolls. These work for similar reasons as the previous. They feel like a strong snare drum fill. It's not a coincidence that snare drum rolls are used in circuses to introduce tension. We all know at the end of the roll, the lion will jump the hoop. Weird, innit? To sting, put a crash on a downbeat. This provides a sense of orientation. You can also do this with tom grooves. Summary. Hype can be altered through dynamics, variety, drum modes, rims, and by disengaging the snares. Tension can be applied by changing modes or through crescendos. To imply tension, use half-opened hi-hat grooves, tom grooves, or snare drum grooves and rolls. So we've talked about arrangement, harmony, rhythm, and part writing. Now it's time to take a look at lyrics and how they can be used to represent your energy curve. Lyrics. Music and lyrics are not separate entities. Lyrics, just like any other element of songwriting, are a tool to control your energy curve. We have already discussed the important role of vocals in hit songs. Now it's time to look at what these vocals could be singing about and, even more importantly, how they sing about it. Just like all the other elements, lyrics have periods of anticipation and moments of gratification. In other words, they too can be used to set hype levels and build tension. Another key mistake writers make is that they don't understand that music and lyrics need to follow the same energy curve. Only when both work in tandem, they can form a whole. If the music follows a completely different energy curve, they will not fit. Take a look at the following unrelated lines. Shut up and listen to me. Everybody put your hands up. I met her at a concert. His hands wrinkled and gray. See how these have different hype levels? The first two lines would sound really strange in a section of low hype, and the last two wouldn't work in a high energy setting. The primary bridge of Rebecca Black's Friday is a great unintentional example for energy levels not matching up. Here, the tension builds and builds, whereas the lyrics peter out in banalities. It's the equivalent of a clown riding a tiny bike. Having different elements of your song say different things is a huge trap to fall into. Make sure your music and lyrics tell the same story and start seeing lyrics as a part of the music instead of as a separate entity. In fact, having music and lyrics go in completely different directions is a great technique if you do comedy. Weird Al, anyone? Start seeing lyrics as simply another instrument that has different sounds and techniques you can use to alter your energy curve. Before we get into how to set hype and tension, there's a concept we need to talk about that becomes very important in lyric writing. Power positions. Certain moments in your song provide better opportunities for storytelling than others. These moments are called power positions because they give whatever lyric is there higher status. So where are those power positions? The most obvious here are the choruses. They are the most impactful and memorable moments of your song, so it only makes sense to put some fantastic lines here. But what about the rest of the song? Are there other less obvious power positions we can use? The answer goes back to the golden mean. A quick reminder, the golden mean or 1-3 rule says that after you have introduced something, repeat it once, then change it. Why can we use this rule here? Because it shows the critical moments of change in our song, and change always calls attention to the music. That means that the lines in these positions are more valuable than others. The golden mean has three distinct features: a beginning, an end, and a mark at around 2/3 of the distance between the two. These three moments, or nodes, are power positions. They either introduce a section, round it off, or introduce something new. So in a verse-verse-pre-chorus scenario, your power positions are the first line of the verse, the last line of the verse, or the first line of the pre-chorus, and the last line of the pre-chorus. Let's look at our Hollywood structure as an example. According to the 1-2-3 rule, the power positions are first line of first verse, first line of pre-chorus or last line of first verse, first line of first chorus or last line of pre-chorus, first line of second verse or last line of first chorus, first line of second chorus or last line of pre-chorus, first line of primary bridge or last line of second chorus, first line of last chorus or last line of primary bridge, and the last line of the last chorus. So we have identified our power positions, and using the 1-2-3 rule is an excellent way of doing this if you're ever in doubt about a structure. Now it's time to talk about how to make the best use of them. Part 1. Hype in lyrics. It should be said that lyrics have only little influence on a song's hype level. Unless you use extremely powerful words, they will usually adapt more or less to your song's energy curve. But anyways, setting hype through lyrics is done by using scope and power words. Scope refers to how specific or general something is. Specificity is low hype. Big picture stuff is high hype. If specificity is what you want, describe what you see or what you feel as something's happening. Go into detail. Talk about the smaller things in life. Tell a story. If you want to go big, explain, summarize, reveal. Go meta. Power words can be used to raise hype. Songwriters are always on the lookout for these. Madonna did it with the word virgin, Beyoncé did it with ring, and Lady Gaga did it with paparazzi. All of these words either evoke a strong emotional reaction, anything from "you can't say that," "what are the kids gonna think," to "that sums up exactly how I feel," or have a deeper meaning. Beyoncé's ring is a metaphor for marriage and honesty. Power words can also reflect the artist's image, single ladies reads girl power, or the zeitgeist, think Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. Have you heard of Pareto's principle? 20% of your efforts produce 80% of your results. Your power words are those 20%. People will forget the rest of your lyrics, but power words prevail. So when writing lyrics, spend more time on your key power words than on anything else. Judging from the lyrical quality of the verses of even hit songs, this is what the pros do too. Put power words in power positions, and your lyric will become irresistible. Part 2. tension in lyrics. This is where lyrics really can shine. Since they are the only element that can tell a literal story, all the same techniques can be used for creating tension, as in poetry, novels, and screenplays. There are two big ways in which to work some tension into your lyrics. Contentual tension, and the less known, although much more effective, structural tension. Contentual tension. This type of tension has to do with what you're saying. Since it is purely logical, your listener has to make an effort to follow and understand the lyrics, it isn't as strong as structural tension. Since it's not used a lot in pop music, we will go through this rather quickly. Telling a story. This technique is a little dated. It pops up here and there every once in a while, especially in country and folk music, but is rarely seen in pop. Examples might be Eminem's Stan, Paramore's Brick by Boring Brick, Flyleaf's Cassie, or Alanis Morissette's Your House. This approach to writing lyrics is more textbook than practice, almost to a degree where there are more books on the technique than hits actually using it. It can be a lot of fun, though, and is one of the more inspiring methods for writing lyrics, compared to let's think of more ways to tell my boyfriend he's special without sounding sappy or corny. Cliffhangers. Cliffhangers are a technique borrowed from TV writing where at the end of the episode you either introduce a major change of events, he was a horse the whole time, a question, how did he know we were coming, or cut off a chain of events. The secret of Blackmore Castle lies behind this door. Let's open it next week. This is to make sure people tune in again. The same thing can be done with lyrics. You are looking for lines that are going somewhere, lines that build tension. So find a line that either surprises, high tension, creates interest, medium tension, or leads nicely into the next section, low tension. Structural tension. This kind of tension is all about breaking the flow and structure of your lines. Here, lyrical content is irrelevant, which means that the following techniques can be used on any kind of melody. So if you only write for a saxophone, synth leads, or hornucopian drone pipe, this works there too. Traditionally, lyrics are written in blocks of four lines each, with one block per section. This is a pretty safe technique that helps with rhyming and flow. The problem with this approach is that blocks are predictable. We know when they start, we know when they end, and we know there's going to be another block just like it right after. The following techniques can help you loosen up your block writing in order to introduce some tension. Pickups. Having a vocal line come in a little before the new section starts creates strong anticipation and can therefore be used to introduce tension. Split lines. A technique I learned from public speaking is splitting lines. Instead of taking a pause at the end of every sentence, take your pauses halfway through. This way, you can already think of what to say next, thus keeping the show going, and at the same time, you're creating tension. We all want to hear the thought brought to its completion. If we don't do this, see, you can use this technique for your songs too. For example, split up the last line of your verse and finish it with the pre-chorus. So instead of going, "Girl, I don't get you," try, "You know I," pause, new section, "just don't get you." The longer the pause, the stronger the tension. For an example, check out Jhené Aiko's The Worst. Implied tension. Implied tension in lyrics can again be divided into two parts, contentual and structural. And again, structural implied tension is the stronger of the two, as it can be felt regardless of whether your audience is listening to the lyrics or not. Contentual implied tension. Tension can be implied by writing lyrics that contrast the music. This could either mean writing low-energy lyrics to a high-energy section or putting high-energy lyrics to a low-energy section. Contrasting low-energy music. Setting a big message against rather small music can be very powerful. This is often used in politically critical songs. Here it sounds honest and brutally real, or when writing about violence and pain. In this case, the result is a detached sound. This technique can also be used for a very effective sting. If your lyric is very personal, add in a line that makes your specific problem a more relatable, more general issue. Say you're writing about the day when you finally told your crush what you feel for them. So you write about sweaty palms, a racing heartbeat, how your mind goes blank just when it counts. And guess what? They like you back, and you live happily ever after, until you die in a bizarre rafting accident. But that's for another song. Look at your story as if it was a metaphor. What is a big message we could learn from this very specific moment in your life? Maybe that we should be more honest, or that we shouldn't waste valuable time in our lives. Or maybe for you it's about how you should follow your dreams. Or maybe it's about how you shouldn't bring a battery-powered toaster to a whitewater rafting trip. But again, different song. Add a line like that to your lyric that shows your listener there's a deeper message hiding between the lines. Can be very effective. Contrasting high-energy music. This creates a disconnect from the music and can be used to imply boredom or apathy. To sting using this technique, sprinkle in a few power words when they least expect it. Structural implied tension. Unbalanced or asymmetric phrasal structuring. Going back to our four-line blocks, realize that you don't have to write lyrics in blocks of four lines each. Try writing three or five lines per block and see what effect it has on the section. The idea is to write more freely, to break free from the tedious one line every two bars standard. Listen to the first verse of Zendaya's Replay, where she uses this technique. Pretty cool, don't you think? Be careful not to use this technique too much, though. As with anything, if you overdo it, we lose our status quo. So set the stage with some properly balanced blocks first. Split lines. A split line doesn't have to span two sections. It can also happen within a single section to imply tension. Again, the technique is to take pauses in the middle of your lines. To sting, do sing a complete line every now and then. Now that we've looked at setting hype and tension, let's go through our Hollywood structure and see what we can do specifically in every section. The intro. This is often instrumental, so there are rarely any lyrics to be written for this section. You might, however, instruct the singer to improvise here. Oh, yeah, yeah, you ready, you know what time it is. Although this seldomly contributes to your story. It does, however, tell us a little bit more about the mood that the song will be in, and it introduces the vocals as soon as possible, which gives the audience something to hold on to. The first verse. Here we introduce our characters. Since it's a power position, your first line is important. So make sure to write something that grabs your audience's attention right away. As we have learned, verses are generally a good moment for descriptions. The key is to really go into detail of what is going on. Nobody wants to hear that your girlfriend has the prettiest eyes. Tell us something specific. Let us take a peek into your life. Then, and only then, we might believe you. I wrote a song once that started out with the lines, I still make coffee for two. I'm not used to you not being around. I can't sleep at night because of you. But then again, might be the coffee, too. See how that's much more interesting than, I miss you, baby? Verses. Get specific. Oh, and don't ever start a verse with, I've been walking through the streets, or the city, or woke up this morning. I will find you. It will not be pretty. First pre-chorus. This will be just one or two lines that lead us nicely into the chorus. If you didn't already introduce your inciting incident in the first verse, then this is the moment. First chorus. Contrary to the verses, you want your chorus to be multifaceted. The bigger the scope of possible interpretations, the better. No time for details here. This is big picture stuff. Why is this important? First, it brings depth to your lyrics, thereby making your text three-dimensional. And as we know from arranging, anything that makes your big sections bigger is invaluable. Second, the more ways your song can be interpreted, the more it will mean to different people. Take the line, you are gone, for example. It speaks to people who were dumped by their significant other, but it also reaches out to those who have recently experienced a death in their life. Just like the title, Left Behind, speaks to people who have been deserted in the past, and additionally satisfies the huge market of music enthusiasts with multiple asses. Third, with multiple interpretations for your chorus, you can actually set each of them up with your verses, thereby changing the meaning of the chorus every single time. This gives each chorus a unique, new color. The second verse. Ah, yes, the time I have spent on second verses in my life. There was nothing I struggled with more than finding something new to say in verse 2. But as I found out through many years of trial and error, you actually have a lot of options here, and they all depend on what you did in the first verse. This makes it necessary to plan your lyrical structure before you start writing. If you started telling a story in verse 1, keep going. Don't cram your entire trip to Nicaragua into verse 1. Take your time. Make us feel like we're there in verse 1. Tell us what you did in verse 2. If you wrote about a certain problem, go deeper. Tell us how it affects you and what it means to you. If your text is about how your significant other snores in their sleep, drill down in the second verse. You can't sleep, you get annoyed at them, you have a strained neck from sleeping on the couch. Blow up the problem. You can also set up a new interpretation for the chorus. Your first option here is to tell completely unrelated stories in the verses that introduce a new point of view to the main line. For example, in verse 1 you write, "The Petersons have a nice family lunch and play board games together." Chorus, "Oh Sunday, best of days." Meaning, "What a beautiful day to be with your family." Verse 2, "Mike Smith watches TV and drinks beer in his Superman underwear." Chorus, "Oh Sunday, best of days." Meaning, "What a great day to do nothing." Option 2 is somewhat harder to pull off. It's about telling a continuous story. Verse 1. "Missed the bus to work, got splashed, went back home to change and realized I had no clean clothes." Chorus. "Life works in mysterious ways sometimes." Meaning, "It seems unfair." Verse 2. "Went to buy a new shirt and ran into this beautiful woman who also had gotten splashed." Chorus. "Life works in mysterious ways sometimes." Meaning, "A bad thing can turn out to be a good thing in hindsight." In both cases, the process is to think of a multifaceted line for the chorus first, then see how you can set up different ways of leading into it to allow for these different interpretations. It's often a good technique to zoom out for the second verse. Go from the mundane to the magnificent, from one person to the world, from experience to lessons learned. This way, you establish the second verse as higher in energy than the first. The second pre-chorus. This may be the same as pre-chorus 1, or it may be different. Your choice. The same rules apply. The second chorus. Usually, choruses 1, 2, and 3 have the same lyrics. You can change them if you want to, but you are losing your repetition. And we like repetition. And we like repetition. As we have seen in this chapter, just because all the choruses have the same lyrics does not mean that they also all represent the same message. The primary bridge. You can see the primary bridge as a way of continuing your story from before, or you follow the energy curve and introduce an element of surprise here. This can be anything from changing your writing technique, like by going from sung lyrics to rapping, to turning the whole situation around, what I call the sixth sense approach. As always, the primary bridge is a good moment to get creative. The third chorus. See chorus number 2. The fourth chorus. As already discussed earlier, you can change the lyrics here if you want. Use them to really drive your point home. Ending. Depending on what you're doing, you have the option of adding some lyrics here. If you're going back to the beginning musically, do the same with the lyrics. If you're ending on a high energy level, make sure the lyrics reflect that. If you're cutting out of the song rather abruptly, think about bringing this idea back lyrically. And if you're fading out your song, consider ending on ad-libs or slight alterations of your chorus. Summary. Power positions are certain moments in your song that give whatever lyrical line is there a lot of power. Hype can be controlled with scope and power words. Tension can be applied with contentual tension, by telling a story or using cliffhangers, or structural tension, pickups and split lines. Tension can be implied contentually, setting low energy lyrics against high energy music and vice versa, and structurally, using unbalanced or asymmetric phrasal structuring or split lines. Keep your verses specific and detailed. Go big picture and multidimensional in your choruses. Production. Production is huge, and it's getting bigger and bigger. As a modern songwriter, you absolutely have to be able to produce your own stuff, even if it's just for demo purposes.